Let us pray. Unexpected God, your advent alarms us. Wake us from drowsy worship, from the sleep that neglects love, and the sedative of misdirected frenzy. Awaken us now to your coming, and bend our impatience to your peace. Amen.
Amen.
Keep awake, Jesus exclaims in the gospel, and Jesus promises yet again, I am coming, be ready for me, so keep awake. Jesus urges us to prepare ourselves for this coming. And today, in the first Sunday of Advent, in the first day of not only a new church year, but an entirely new lectionary cycle, we have the chance not only to keep awake, but to start over again. Just think of all we went through in the past lectionary cycle. It's a three-year cycle. The cycle started swimmingly. It was Advent 2019. And we were looking forward with the choir to go and sing at Carnegie Hall. We were practicing and rehearsing for Advent lessons and carols, and Reverend Olivia had just joined us on staff at Calvary part-time. And we were looking forward with anticipation to her ordination, which happened on February 20th, 2020. And then just weeks after that ordination, the World Health Organization declared a pandemic. There were some of our choir members who watched Broadway go dark. Carnegie Hall closed its doors, and the choir members flew home in a frenzy to join the rest of us who were beginning our isolation. And it was from there that we spent the last lectionary cycle. We figured out on March 15th, 2020, how to worship virtually for the first time. We set up this little, I think we stacked prayer books on top of each other, and I put my phone up and used the kickstand, and we recorded worship. And from there, we looked ahead as hopefully as we could. Within a month, we had a way to gather on this then little known and little used platform called Zoom. And suddenly we could see each other's faces for coffee hour virtually. We had to make our own coffee. And stunningly, we could see each other face to face from our living rooms. Can you imagine even a decade ago that being possible? Or wherever we could get Wi-Fi, we could worship, we could be in fellowship, and we called one another, and we checked in, and we dropped things on each other's porches out of care and love. We were awake to each other's needs, whether we wanted to be or not, but we were. I think we wanted to be awake to the needs, we just didn't want the circumstance. Well, in these past 3 years, this past lectionary cycle, keeping awake also meant recognizing how divided and fraught our country is. It's meant recognizing our racism that's rampant, and it just came to light for some of us in the advent of the death of George Floyd. It's meant getting real about the environmental degradation that's impacting us on a global scale. This is what we did do during the pandemic that is quite remarkable. We actively turned away from our isolation and our indifference toward one another and toward our world in whatever creative and meaningful and life-giving ways we could. We found ways to be in touch even when we were forced to be apart. And I say with confidence, Jesus showed up. We recognized in our pandemic exile the power of Emmanuel, God with us. And then in this past year, we returned. We've come back to church, back to schools, back to workplaces, back to old habits. These past 3 years have revealed so much, and we've had to learn so many things. We had to grow accustomed to being apart. only to be tossed back into the frenzy of old patterns and paces we'd started to forget. And I believe in some ways this has enervated us. But here we are on the first day of the new church year, in the first year of another 3-year lectionary cycle. How shall we begin again after all we experienced together and apart? How will we keep awake? Every church year, the first Sunday of Advent in the Episcopal Church, in the lectionary, calls for alertness and repentance. The word repent in Greek is the word metanoia, and it translates to so much more than what we've been taught about repentance. Metanoia is a change of mind, a reorientation, a fundamental transformation of outlook. Outlook of humanity's vision of the world and of ourselves. It's a new way of loving others, loving God. Repentance is at the heart of the meaning of Advent. Episcopal priest Suzanne Guthrie wrote this prayer: "Come, Lord Jesus, but let me repent first. My soul wallows in its long habit of laziness, of disregard, of thoughtlessness, of heartlessness, a hibernation against feeling and against knowing. A torpor of uncaring. I'm not ready to greet either the horrors or wonders of the dawning of the great day. My body stands dumbly looking at the sky, but my soul lies dormant like a rodent deeply buried in its underground nest in the deepest winter, far from my heart. Help me to live and work and witness to this time in active hope." As we have returned to this worship space for the past year and a half or so, it was immediate and creeping, a noticing of something. When we were worshiping online, we made a point of getting as close as possible. Our Zoom lens was up close and personal, so you could see the crinkles in my eyes, and I could see the expressions on your faces when we were in those Zoom study rooms. And then we came back to this worship space, to this chancel and this nave where we sit, and especially at 11 o'clock, something felt different for me. The feeling of connectedness was conspicuously crimped. It was like a waking sleep. I knew the patterns. I knew how to walk in, walk out, celebrate. We'd come in, worship together, go home, and we were relieved to be back together week after week. But something was not the same as during that time of virtual connection. And I expressed this to our strategic planning consultants a few weeks ago, and then they said, "Well, let me come and see your worship space." So they came up, and they immediately saw things to which I was not awake. First off, at 11 o'clock, we can't connect with each other in our worship configuration as it was. The altar literally blocks the view of the presider and the altar party to all the rest of the people. And they said, "Oh, look, there's a space where this lectern and this pulpit used to be closer in, and they've been pushed aside." They made some other observations too. I'll wait and share those as Advent rolls along. All these changes have been done in particular times and places so we can draw near to the living God. Did you know this church's liturgical space has been reconfigured several times in our history? It started in the 19th century when the chancel was enlarged. The altar, and they wanted to have more of a sense of transcendence at the altar. It was all a little too close for comfort, maybe. I don't know. Or they That's just my observation. And the altar was then moved away from the far east into the midst of the people. I learned that that change took about 5 to 6 years to complete from 1979 to 1985. The seating has been shifted. The organ has been restored. It's been repositioned. The pews have been selectively removed. Believe it or not, there are far fewer pews in here than there used to be. And we made some changes here at 8 o'clock when I first came. We used to meet over here. And we rolled this altar over. Well, actually, we started up at the high altar. And then we rolled this altar over. And slowly, we realized we wanted to be closer to each other. And Reverend Olivia and I have remarked that at 8 o'clock, we give the most lively sermons because we're not up in a cage. It's in this worship space that the people of God have returned for worship week after week for over 150 years. And we bring the nightmares of this world that keep us bound in fear, and we hear it through the lens of good news, of hope. We pray for those whom we love. We honor those who came before us. And week after week, we repent. We come here seeking that transformation. And we exchange peace with one another. And we hope that peace extends into the world. And then finally, we break and we bless bread. We drink wine made holy. Here in this space, we encounter a living God who leads us into life. Our function here is to encounter a living God breathing among us. And so our form must follow this function. So today at 11 o'clock, we're moving the altar servers down into the front of the altar. We've tweaked the liturgical space just slightly in an attempt to wake up. The choir is all moving down a seat. It's not perfect. It never has been perfect. But it's enough to awaken us and stir us up and present a new vision and some next steps that will draw us closer to Emmanuel, God with us. In the next few weeks, what would it look like for you to sit in a new seat? When you move to a new location in worship space, what do you notice? What do you see that you weren't aware of before? What we're doing in Advent this year is a spiritual exercise we can take into our lives in the world. We begin each year in the church with the season of Advent. It's traditionally a season of preparation. And Jesus says, if you want to be prepared for my coming, you need to be awake and not just do the things the way you've always done them. To repent, to experience metanoia, a reorientation, a fundamental transformation of our vision in the world around us. And only when we do that are we prepared for when the great day comes. So as we move into a new church year, a new cycle, may we not succumb to a dreamlike sleep, preferring the existing conditions, but instead keep awake to God with us. Amen.